Hello, everyone. Good morning. As he said, my name is David, and I know you guys have been kind of going through the book of Philippians, chapter by chapter, and I just kind of sense the Lord wanting to bring a specific and special message to you all. And so, yeah, definitely talk to Greg and talk to Jeff as well, and they kind of just echoed, like, yes, I believe this is what God is saying, and championing it into that. And so with that, I'm going to pray, and we'll kick it off, okay? Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can call you Father in the first place. God, I thank you that you are real, you're everlasting, and your love is never ending. So Holy Spirit, we just ask for you to come. It's not by man's might nor power, but by your Spirit, God. It's not by wise or persuasive speech, but by the demonstration of your Holy Spirit. Jesus, you are welcome. We love you and we thank you that you are for us and you know us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I kind of want to start off this morning just by asking a question that can kind of capture a lot of maybe stages or emotions. It's a simple question, but it can be a profound kind of reflective place in people's lives. I wanted to ask, like, have you ever felt excluded or maybe left out? Maybe it was in high school and you saw all these popular kids, and you're looking around. All these people are being invited. You're like, where's my invite? Or maybe it was in a church, and you see, like, cliques forming, and you're like, what's happening? Why am I not getting invited? I know for me, that kind of was my story for a good bit, kind of like a fish out of water. In high school, I wasn't a popular kid. I did a few sports. Played some video games. I had some good friends, but I was never, like, invited to the table, so to speak. And then my journey continued on. I got out of, I was in Iowa at that time, and I was like, I wanted to excel in my life, but also I wanted to get out of an unstable home life I was in. So I went into the military, and I served this country faithfully for about 7 years. I loved the experience, but I didn't fit the military mold. In basic, they're trained to, like, kind of tear people's identities down and then reinforce it with a militaristic mind view. And the reason why is you have to be a certain mold in war zones to rely on your training. And through that journey, like, I was blessed that I got to travel, I got to do things, but I wasn't really still kind of clicked. I was like a puzzle piece, right, that, like, just couldn't fit in this puzzle. I felt out of place. And guys, it wasn't until I was like 23 years old, and I remember just talking to this guy. He was all wild about Jesus. I'm like, what's going on? Like, why is that a big deal? He's like, man, Jesus changed my life. I want you to come to my church. And I'll never forget, I was talking to him on the phone, like on a Saturday, and I was pounding drinks. I don't even remember the phone conversation, but we talked for like 3 hours. And little did I know, his wife was in the background praying for me. And out of 3 hours of conversation, all I remember is him asking me, David, what do you want out of life? I was like, man. And that was a question I've been searching so much. I didn't fit really anywhere. What did I want out of life? And I remember responding, I'm like, man, his name was Big Dave, right? I was like, Big Dave, I just want a family. And he's like, all right, well, I guarantee you, if you come to this church, you'll find one. I was like, all right. And I think it's by the grace of God, I went without a hangover the next day. And really, and I walked in, and all these people just flooded. You know, it was a small church, but their love was just overwhelming. People were giving me hugs. They're saying hi. And I'm like, why are you touching me? What's going on? And And I remember they started worshiping, and people were like raising their hands. And I was like, wow, I've never seen a relationship with God. I've only seen religion. And towards the tail end, they gave me a Bible. I like prayed the salvation prayer. I entered what they called the family. I was like, is this a mafia? Like, what is this, you know? And everyone was like, call me brother. And I was like, wow, like, this is a weird feeling. I actually feel like I kind of belong. And that was an amazing stage in my life. I was kind of born into that church. I was kind of the imprint and cut of the same cloth from a lot of people. And so after that stage, I got out of the military and went on the world race. And the world race is phenomenal opportunity. Its kind of slogan is 11 countries in 11 months. And it was my first mission trip. I'm like going all in, right? And I was like, all right, well, let's do it. And so you have a training camp, so it's about a year long. I remember going to training camp, and we're talking, and I'm sharing biblical verses, you know, with other believers. And a lot of them were also from America, in the Christian church, and I would call them like brother, sister. Some of them were kind of like the crazy uncle, but like I called them like my family. And they're like, what is this guy doing? This is weird. Why is he sharing verses with me? Why is he saying he's blessed? And I just honestly thought that's like what normal Christians did. But I found myself again, years worth doing mission works, feeling kind of out of place. I was this puzzle piece that felt like I was in the wrong puzzle box. And as I was praying and just sensing, I was like, God, like, what do you want this church to know? What's your heart for them? Because God's heart changes everything. He redeems everything. And I'm like, Lord, like, what do you want to say to them? And I kind of just had the sense, like, you guys are in this place of a transition. Right? You don't know where this church will be in a year, and you don't possibly know yourself individually where you'll be in 10 years. And I just felt like the Lord was like, you know, whether you know where you're going or not, like, you know that you fully belong. You fully belong to my family. You are not alone. This is, yes, a local church, but a global perspective of family. And that leads us to this first point is to rejoin the family, is to rejoin. And I was going to read I'm going to read out of Ephesians that kind of captures that, the unity and the maturity of the family of God, of the body, right? And so in Ephesians chapter 4, and mind you, like, this book is Paul wrote this book to the Ephesians, and half of the book kind of talks about the theory and the theology of what a new life in Christ looks like. It's all about like the theology of what new life as a newborn, being born into Christianity, what that looks like. And then the second part of the book is like, okay, since we talked about theory, let's talk about practice. What does that actually mean? What are the principles and the practicality of living out a new life? And so in Ephesians 4, it captures the unity and the maturity in our family, right? And it says this, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love. And I know that can be challenging, at least for me, with other family and other members of the body. Like, that can be very challenging. And it says, make every effort. Not like effort sometimes, not effort when you feel like it. Ah, you tried 5 times? Nope. It says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I want to pause right there. Like, we all know, whether like if it's your spouse or a best friend or a good friend, like in a relationship with someone that you care for, you know the times when there's like a bond of peace on it compared to when there's not, right? If when there's not the bond of peace between you and the person that you care about, like it's like emotional stress. You're like, this is not fun. And I think that's why he's writing and talking about it's so essential to keep that bond of peace. And it continues in this way. Key in to how many ones there are, right? So there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope. When you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And he's writing how we are one body, right? This is one family across the world. And to rejoin in believing and knowing, like, you guys aren't alone as a single local church, but you have a global one body, like this one body with one faith and one belief, right? And you might be sitting there and thinking, like, David, you don't know my story. I don't want to rejoin this family. This family has hurt me. This one body is been painful. I might have went from church to church to church, and like this body of Christ has hurt me. I don't feel okay in this family. And that's okay. If you're there, that's fine. That's totally okay to be there. And it's fair to think that. Because, like, I'll be real. The longer that you are a part of this family, the more at risk you are to being hurt. Right? And we all probably have been hurt in some small shape or form. And I'll be real, like, that's challenging. What do we do with this church hurt? You know, there's three things that we can do. I've seen it. People either become hostile, where they're hard, like their heart becomes hardened. And that's why there's some of the hardest atheists out there, right? It's like they're on a mission to prove God's not real because they've been hurt. Another one, you can just carry the hurt for years and it tries to define your theology. And lastly, and the best choice is you can be healed, right? Those are the three options with church hurt. And navigating, you know, transitions and even with church hurt is difficult. You know, with my wife and I, I'm going to share kind of a personal story. My wife and I, about, I would say 2 years back, we're heavily involved in a church, and we were leading, and we were doing ministry. We were helping out and serving the community. And we had a falling out with one of the pastors who we considered that person to be a close friend to us. And after that, there was some, like, deep hurt. And we were like, God, like, we don't feel safe. Once again, we're this puzzle piece that doesn't even fit within this church. Like, what do we do, Lord? I think it's time to go. And God's like, not yet, not yet. We didn't feel permission for us to transition. And we're like, why? And he's like, I want you to make every effort to create that bond of peace with my family. And so we stayed, and there was times where we were like, we just want to leave. Kind of being real, but, you know, we felt like living the life, the worthy calling. We wanted to live that life out. And so we stayed and we took a year off ministry. We invested in our first year of marriage at that time. And then we entered with the same church back into ministry, doing youth ministry. And it was about a year's time, and it was amazing how God healed our hearts through that church hurt. How the Lord redeemed so much from us trying to hear him and obey him and capture that ministry of reconciliation because we're part of one body. You see, like, we knew if we just left, there would have been a fracture in the one body, right? And we don't want to start a new chapter by ending the past on a bad note. Because, guys, like, if you finish a season not well, you're going to enter into the next season not the best. You know what I'm saying? And so for us, it was challenging. But we waited for the Lord's permission, and we created that bond of peace again. It wasn't until this past summer where we transitioned local churches. And through this point, we were thinking that, like, oh, it's a season of transition. It's time to move houses. And so I went to this place I used to work at, this big warehouse, and I gathered all these boxes. Got all the boxes, boxing tape. We had a realtor, and we went house hunting. We're even scoping out, like, places out here in Mahomet, this and that. But we didn't feel at peace on buying a house quite yet. We're like, God, like, we're transitioning houses. Like, why haven't we found a place yet? And it wasn't until where he kind of pulled back a veil. And he's like, actually, I don't want you to move your house. I want you to move to one of my other houses. And we had a piece on transitioning local churches. And that's kind of a weird thing. It's a strange process to transition from a local place, because you still see the faces of people, but, like, gosh, guys, like, there was so much of the hand of God on this move. We knew, like, if we would have left out of hurt or out of pain, like, it would not have had the same grace for us to leave when we knew there was healing through all of the relationships. And so that leads us to our second point, is to, in order to rejoin the family, is sometimes we have to rebuild trust. You know, if you can't trust people, that's okay. Like, you can trust God. And if you're in this place where, like, I don't even know if I can, like, rebuild my trust with the Father, then that's why we're here. We're family. We got to help each other rebuild that trust, because that leads rebuilding trust into believing and knowing that God is for us in all relationships. Now, I'm going to read out of Luke that captures kind of a story who you probably all have heard, but in a different light, in a different angle, okay? So it's the parable of the Good Samaritan, all right? And it, like, I want you guys to kind of envision this. Put yourself in the scene and see what's happening, right? On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He answered, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor yourself." I just want to pause right there. Like, that's what a healthy, like, flourishing family of God looks like. Pursuing the Lord and loving each other. And Jesus said, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." Check this out. He said, but he wanted to justify himself, right? Sometimes we want to justify ourselves. He asked, "Who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "All right, check this out." Like, kind of, here's a full story. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And so imagine this. He's on this kind of beaten, dry path, and he's probably by himself, right? He has all of his belongings. He's going from Jerusalem to Jericho. Out of the sudden, it says he was attacked by robbers. So there was people waiting for travelers to come. They would get out. They would rob them. They would beat them. They would hurt them, and then they would just bounce, right? They would leave. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. So this traveler is probably in the dirt. There's blood, and he's, like, breathing his last breaths. And he's probably silently praying, like, "God, like, help me. I need your help. I'm in a deep place of need." Like, and he's, you know, stripped of all of his clothes. He's probably stripped of his dignity too. And what happens? He looks up and he sees a symbol of hope. He sees a priest. He says a priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, so they locked eyes. They locked eyes. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side and went on his way. Think about what this guy is feeling. Man, someone who's commissioned to help, like, what is happening? I am in a need. And so too, a Levite, which is a representative of the church as well, when he came to the place, saw him, so they, once again, he saw each other, passed by on the other side. And that's never a good feeling if you felt passed by. But a Samaritan, a person who was least likely to kind of help someone, they were despised in the culture. They were seen, and even saying this word Samaritan, it was a stigma. As he traveled, came where the man was. When he saw him, he took pity on him. And like, that's one of my prayers. Like, God, give me a heart to stop and to help. When he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey. So he not only gave up his materials and supplies to stop, bandage him up, and he put him on his donkey. So this guy is walking at this point. He's walking and putting the other dude on the donkey. He's no longer riding. And I believe God's heart is so much in this. Brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to an innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Jesus said, which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. And I wanted to capture kind of what that guy might have felt, right? And what I love, though, is he was bandaged, he was healed, and he went on his way. He probably, in some way, he was hurt, but in a lot of ways, he had to rebuild that trust to rejoin the family. I just want to say, like, guys, like, it can be a great challenge for us to be healed through this. But it was a greater challenge for Christ to die for all of us while we are still sinners. Like, we can't afford to look at our family and think evil of them or speak evil of them. And we can't see them as from a place of, you know, hurt or unwillingness to connect without that bond of peace. We must focus on knowing that who our Father is, that he is faithful, and asking his eyes and heart to see our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because you guys are not alone. We are not alone. And I've learned, like, you know what? I can't let other things define my brothers, my sisters. Once again, that crazy uncle. Like, I can't let people define them except for what my Father says about them. Especially about my, you know, my family in Christ. I want to be like a person who like says, dude, you're my brother, and mean it. And you feel the heart of the Father and family of love. And what's amazing is while I was this puzzle piece in different puzzle boxes, the Lord molded me perfectly to fit in his kingdom. And through that, I have fit in all of the puzzle boxes. In the same way that he is molding all of us as one body, we must be able to rebuild our trust with our one family. And that leads us to the third point, because we're traveling and going through this bridge to unity. And the third point is to redeem. Like, God wants the best for us. He wants the best for us. He wants us to live in relationships with the family, with the one body, breaking bread, enjoying each other, and not doing this kind of life alone. He doesn't want us just to go home, close the garage, and not see our neighbors. And I think that's what's great, is like, you guys are trying to reach out to the neighbors here, give them cookies, maybe even ask, like, hey, can I pray for you? What's on your heart? You know, this is probably some of the darkest time throughout the year, and that's why they try to increase morale. They try to increase morale by having like Christmas lights, this and that, because it's dark and cold outside. It's nasty. And I'm just saying, like, there's people going through some harsh stuff. And when people see the one body, they have a glimpse of the Father. And when they see the Father, their hearts are forever touched and changed. And so I believe Jesus wants to mold all of us into the puzzle piece that fits perfectly every time, because we're in the one body and in the kingdom. That was a big thing, guys. Like, I was praying and like asking God, like, what do you want them to know? That one, you guys, in the midst of transition, you're not alone. You can, you know, choose to rejoin and know that, like, we are part of a global body of Christ, right? And sometimes that requires us to rebuild trust. I mean, Christmas is coming up. Family is messy. It's messy. There's great moments. There's some ugly moments. It's all around, you know, but the family that you can trust on is looking to the Father who will never fail you. And I'm going to have the worship team come up, and I just want us to kind of engage with the Father through worship, and then we'll kind of tail in with ministry time. But guys, like, I believe God wants to redeem the bridge for all of us to have that unity and the bond of peace. Does that kind of make sense? Kind of, yeah? All right, cool. Yeah, so I just really believe, engage with the Lord. He wants to redeem the places in our heart to know and believe that, like, I can call you brother. I can be like, hey, bro, what's up, man? And mean it, you know? Like, I want to be able to see you guys as family. And it might sound cliche, and if you guys come from a broken family like me, like, God wants to redeem that too. He so wants to redeem the broken places of how we see and experience family. Because family is supposed to be loved and lived with the love of God. You're not alone. And he is definitely going to redeem some stuff in our hearts today. Thank you.